state your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Back here on ESPN 97.5, Joe George, Will Kunkel, me back here with you for another hour on the show today. Christian Javier over the weekend returned to form. Close. He's terrible. He's terrible.
You can make an argument that he's always been terrible.
I mean, there's some good moments.
I agree.
No hitter in the World Series. I thought it was deserving of the contract when he got it. Like, I thought it was reasonable for what he was. Yes, it's going to get more expensive, and it has over time. But over the weekend, in yesterday's game, 3 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Not good enough. Has a 9.98 ERA on the season this year.
That's so crazy.
What's his runway at this point? Because he's owed a lot of money. So, like, the Astros, like, really, like, have a couple options here. You have to just keep throwing him out there. You try to figure him out in this traditional bullpen role that he would go back into after the All-Star break as guys get healthier and your rotation is somewhat back to, like, a normal structure, at least, with Blanco probably returning to fill that fifth spot. And Javier goes back to the bullpen. You can DFA him at some point, and he clears waivers. He can return to Houston if he chooses to do so, or he could venture off to a new team, or you phantom IL him. Like where are you at with Christian Javier? Just like how much runway he even gets to be a part of this 40-man roster?
Honestly, forever, because that the rest of the rotation is really bad. They're up and down. Burroughs is now on the IL. You're not going to get much out of Lance McCullers when he comes back. Ronel Blanco, we don't know what we're going to get from him. He might be sent down another point, too. Eric Geddy's a massive question mark. Hunter Brown's the only staple you have. So Christian Javier is in the mix of Eric Geddy, Lambert, Imai, Blanco, and McCullers. He's not sticking around because he's good. He's sticking around because you got to have bodies.
Yeah. I think at this point, because like they're gonna put him back in the bullpen. Like he's not gonna be part of this rotation. That's not the plan. Like he's gonna go back to that traditional bullpen.
Who?
Javier.
Is he?
I think so. Like I don't think he's gonna try. They're gonna try to start him again. Like this was.
But
this was,
what happens when someone goes down inevitably, or someone need like something else happens?
Well, so that's yeah. I mean, with Burroughs being flipped to the 15-day IL, like he's not as much of an option. But you have Blanco and McCullers coming back. Wisniewski's not that far. So, like, you have three bodies that, like, you have to figure out, for the most part, how to put them in the rotation. Where one of them takes that spot that Javier, you know, used just for Sunday.
And keep in mind, this isn't necessarily just up to the Astros. Because if Christian doesn't want to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, well then. But he did. I mean, he was in the bullpen to start, like, when they brought him back from the IL. So, he did go to the bullpen. Like,
But if that's a, like, health reason versus a you suck reason.
Yeah, I think it's more of a...
I'm just saying, like, that's a conversation that always has to be had with these guys.
For sure.
Like, McCullers doesn't want to do it.
No, well, McCullers won't. Like,
right, that's what I mean.
I think Javier, because he has in the past, like, he seems willing to do this. Because I think the reason why he's willing to is because I think his time is coming to an end. And I think that's what he's been told. That's my guess. That's all it is. It's just a guess on the situation. Is that Javier was essentially told of, like, hey, man, like, you're going to be a traditional reliever. And he was until there was another injury with Burroughs being terrible, and they didn't want to call up anyone for this last start before the All-Star game, which I think is logical in their reasoning for it. It wasn't a good appearance from Javier, but their logic behind it was good. Because the starters that are coming back, I think it ultimately is going to come down to probably when Bennett Souza returns of like what Christian Javier's role in this team is going to be. Yes, that's another lefty, not a righty, but I just don't know what else they do. I'd rather Blue Ball be on this roster. I'd rather Blanco be on this roster. I'd rather Wisniewski be on this roster. Like almost, and not that any of these guys are for sure going to be better than Christian Javier. I think the betting favorite is they all would be. Even Lance McCullers is better than Christian Javier. Like, I think he gets maybe through July to figure this out to where like maybe Blue Ball does go down temporarily. To see if Christian Javier can become a legit bullpen arm after the break. But I don't think he's on this roster after August 3rd, after the deadline. Like, I think we are within.
Can they save money distance. By making any of these moves?
No, they just, they just eat the money. It just comes off their books, basically. They pay him a big cash settlement, basically, to walk away. And then, again, he can choose to stay in the organization because no one's going to pick up his contract.
Hell no.
So, like, he's going to be an op. Like, he can be back into the fold for the Astros in the future. But, yeah, I don't think Christian Javier is going to be on this roster on August 4th. Like, I think they're going to make some level of move in the bullpen, in the rotation, maybe both, but definitely in the bullpen to get some kind of leverage arm. And not, maybe not an elite guy, but someone that's going to be a clear upgrade in the bullpen. So I think on August 4th, Christian Javier is, at best, has a phantom IL stint where he's just going to be out for the rest of the season. At worst for him is he's going to be back in Sugar Land because no one claimed his contract after he gets DFA'd.
And I don't disagree with you. I think he's either on it inevitably and forever this year, or he's gone as soon as you can if you're able to figure out what else you want to do. The Astros, amongst other teams, but the Astros in particular have a knack for like picking up guys and bringing back guys that weren't very good when they left but have familiarity with. Who was the late reliever? I believe he went to Chicago that they brought back.
Neris?
Yeah, Hector Neris. Like, yeah. They played that game a handful of times.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're going to do it with Christian Javier. It's different, but there's like that familiarity that they do enjoy when it comes to late in the season.
It's so weird because, like, I do feel like weirdly, like, they do a better job of fixing guys that are broken elsewhere. I think it is a sign, and maybe I'm very biased in this because of the team that I watch also on a regular basis and how tragic every single former Astros pitcher is in Chicago. I feel like when the Astros say they're done with you, it means your career is over. For the most part. Like,
which?
Hector Neris, because he was not good when Houston brought him back, really.
Nope.
Ryan Pressly, mm-hmm. not good. Maton's a little bit different, but he's been tragic. Like, he was good last year, but, like, it feels like if the Astros say, we're done with you, it means...
we got it all.
Yeah, you're not a good player.
Squeeze that all out.
Yeah, it's like, and it's kind of like the Patriots. If a Patriots... if a Patriots linebacker were to get cut by Bill Belichick... or not resigned, that player's going to suck for your team when he signs there. Like, it's just like, it feels inevitable at this point. And I feel like that's where we're at with Christian Javier, where they're just going to be like, nope, we're done. We've done everything that we possibly can, and this guy's over. His career's over.
I didn't bring this up earlier because it wasn't really on topic, but this is what worries me most about Tatsuya Imai. Their inability to figure it out of the stuff that they figure out with guys.
Yeah.
That's what worries me the most. Not like he might figure it out and I haven't closed the book, but if I were to have to make a decision, I close the book, because if the Astros can't figure out this type of stuff where they always do, then Imai's a wrap.
Because even like Javier, like they figured it out, right? Like they figured out his two pitch mix, like how it works, and it had to be perfect, which it has not been with this induced vertical break or whatever. With Imai and Burrows, for me, like I am out on them. Imai is just like, I'm not out, I guess, because it's just like such a wild card at this point. Burrows I'm out on for 2026. I still have a sliver of hope that after a full season of having those guys in their system, that they can try to adjust something in the offseason, and then it can be corrected for next year. Now, I don't have high hopes for that, but like, I think if there is going to be either of those guys get figured out, like the offseason is probably where we see the biggest adjustment. Now, like you say, Kikuchi came into Houston a couple years ago, and like it was immediately a different pitcher.
It was crazy.
Like, and that one was, because that one seems simple, where it's like, hey, this pitch is good. Why don't you throw it more? And then he did, and he was awesome. Where like Burrows and Imai are not that. Like they're not that right now. They have legit problems, like mechanically and things like that, that have to get figured out. That's not getting fixed in a season with a starting pitcher.
I just don't think Burrows is good. I don't think he has good stuff. And if you look at Baseball Savant, it kind of backs that up. And I think Imai has swing and miss stuff.
For sure.
He's shown the ability to get guys to swing and whiff. And his K percentage is good. His whiff percentage is good. His breaking run value is good. Like, he's got the ability to do things. Whereas you look at Mike Burrows, like, his chase percentage is decent, and that's it. Everything else is very, very, very bad. And when you watch him, it's just... there's not sharp break. It's not a lot of movement. He's not overpowering. Like, there's nothing that he does when you watch him. Like, oh, damn. That's where we need to work with. You watch Imai, it's like, all right, that's a nasty pitch. It's just in the wrong spot, and or you don't know where it's going. And I'm not saying that's a small thing to fix. It's a very weird, big thing to fix. But I'd rather you have crazy movement on your pitches and not know where they go versus, I can't get the ball to move, and I can't overpower you, so I don't know what to do to get you out.
Especially lefties, because he's terrible against lefties, Mike Burrows is. Yeah, it's no, I'm with you for the most part. And, like, and that's where, like, I'm at with Javier ultimately, too, is, like, I think they – Javier, I think they
you're
got
which
the
with
best.
Javier? You're more Mike Burrows or Emile?
More Burrows. And honestly, past that. Like, I think they've gotten the best out of Javier, and I have no hope.
Watching Javier pitch is – I mean, it looks like really tonight's his night to pitch. It's home run derby night. Everything he throws up there is a meatball. He has no velo. He can't get anybody to swing and miss. He can't control things. He doesn't have a variety of pitches. He doesn't have an arsenal to go to. Like – watching Javier pitches, it looks so forced. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's contract starts after contract starts and name starts after name starts. And it's what have you done, what you did for me in the past versus you being any damn good. But again, that's happening because of what you have in that rotation. You don't have health and you don't have anyone else that's very, very good.
Well, hopefully, I mean, we'll see if...
At the moments that he's getting the
starts. We'll see if Blanco and these guys can come back and be... I mean, I think I still like Blanco. So, like, I'm hopeful.
There's no reason not to like Blanco. Yeah, his was injury-driven, not good.
Wesneski, I'm not as hopeful, I would say. I think he can be good, but, like, he's one where, like, he might turn out to be a good bullpen arm. But, like, I'm curious to see, like, what the Astros machine can do with him because, like, he does seem to have, like, that level of stuff that the Astros like, and he might be more like a Yusei Kikuchi where it's like, hey, come here to a team that has a good pitching machine and see how they can develop him and turn him around, but we will wait and see. All right,
when Wesneski was good, he was really good.
Yeah.
Like, he had – but correct me if I'm wrong, he was in that Cam Smith trade, correct?
Yes, he was.
Came over, got hurt, like, kind of immediately.
Yeah, I think it was like
– like a quarter of a season he pitched, maybe?
I think that.
Two starts? Three starts?
It looks like he threw 32 innings last year.
Was it last year that he came over?
Yeah.
Cam was a rookie last year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was last year. Okay. Thirty-two starts.
I like him as because it's all injury driven, and he had really good stuff. I know you got to go to break.
No, you're good. We can get there when we get there. He has potential. I'm just curious to see, like, if the Astros can get the best version out of him when he returns. The last minor league start was pretty good, so we'll wait and see how he fits into this role and have all these guys. And eventually, my guess is again, it will push out Christian Javier.
If you were told, if we have time,
yeah, we have time.
You have to have one of them. You have to stick with either Ronel Blanco, Wisniewski, McCullers, Javier. I mean, you can even throw Imai in there, and you can throw Arrigetti in there.
I'd probably bet on Blanco and Wisniewski the most right now because I haven't seen it.
I agree, but because, like, the last time we saw them, they were good.
Yeah.
And they had injuries, which guys get over injuries all the time. Like, that's not my issue. Lance's injury was very, very different. It was multiple. It was horrible, like career ending. You know, I've seen Christian. I've seen it. Am I missing something? He's very bad.
Yeah, I don't think
Mike Burrows. He's healthy. He's very bad.
Yeah, I don't think the Javier good version still exists.
Bro, you know how long ago it was that he was even good though?
It was like 22.
Maybe
23.
It's Conor McGregor long ago.
Yeah, like it's not any time to where, like, there's a belief that it's going to be corrected again. Like, they're just the only reason why he's on this roster is just like Lance McCullers because of his contract.
If I was going to say, like, if I was an idiot and I didn't understand, like, oh my gosh, you got to pitch a guy because of his contract, like, that happens. This guy is nowhere to be found on a major league roster based on what his abilities are. Like, nowhere.
I'm not even sure he's a 4A guy.
It's crazy.
He's probably pitching on, like, the Rockies. Like, he's probably still in the bigs if he's not an Astro because, like, there will be some bottom feeder team that will take a flyer on him. But, like, he's not, like, a legit guy at this point. So, yeah, I do not think Christian Javier will be on the Astros 40-man roster on August 4th. Like, I don't see it anymore. I loved it because I used to love Christian Javier a lot. I used to get into arguments with people all the time because I thought he was, like, legit with two pitches and can make it work. But
you can't.
That induced vertical break thing that he had, like, it went away. And, like, he's just throwing meatballs up there half the time.
I mean, he has
How
given
about the meatballs?
Six runs, one run in one inning of work, one run in two innings of work. He gave up no runs one time, and he gave up 3-3 his last start in the Rangers. It's all bad.
Yeah.
And, like, the metrics say it's all bad. You don't have, like, Dana Brown coming out being like, I'm sticking with Imai. Like, I like what I see in Imai. You can look at the metrics and say what Imai's got going on is workable. We can work with that. There's nothing in Christian Javier and Mike Burrows that says, man, we just need more time.
Yeah, Burrows, the only argument is, like, there are some good numbers versus righties.
Boy, you're digging.
But it's digging.
Situational at best. Yeah. Certainly not a number two.
No, no, for sure. Definitely not.
For six innings.
But this is
game.
Why, like, one start versus the Astros last year that everyone was like, who is this guy? And then spring training numbers are like, they're garbage. Like, they mean absolutely nothing. That's why you should not bank on them.
It's like picking your MVP in training camp in football. You're like, oh, man, that guy's going to be great. And then they never do anything.
Yeah, like, it's just, they mean absolutely nothing.
Ever.
Talking to you, Rockets fans, who gives a crap about what a rookie did in a summer league game? The amount I saw that over the weekend is exhausting. But maybe.
Who?
You know, Bruce Thornton.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He dropped, like, what, 27, I think it was, in his first game?
He's probably in your everyday rotation now.
He's the 12th guy on this roster. All right. We'll take a break here when we get back. We'll get through our hat tips of the day. That's next year. Will Kunkel, Joe George, Brian McDonald, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's time for a hydration break.
Presented by Rambler Sparkling Water.
Time for a hydration break to beat this Houston Heat. Time to sub out that boring water with Rambler, America's tastiest sparkling mineral water, a proprietary limestone mineral blend complete with calcium, magnesium, and potassium, essential electrolytes your body needs in this Houston heat. Combined with crisp carbonation, Rambler delivers premium taste and maximum hydration without the sugar or sodium. Available at select retailers across Houston and nationwide. Find a store near you at RamblingSparklingWater.com and get rambling, Houston. All right. Time for some hat tips from over the weekend where we tip a hat to whatever you want. It can be sports related. You can go outside the sports world. But B-Mac, I'm going to let you lead us off today.
This is for me and Joe, less so for Will. But I will tip the cap to the WWE for bringing War Games here in November.
I saw that.
Yeah, the War Games Survivor Series pay-per-view got announced today.
I actually did a post
today.
On Instagram about this.
Sorry?
I did a post on Instagram.
Oh, did you?
This.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I went.
What's your budget?
See, the answer's changed. I went to,
it's expensive.
I went to the first War Games when NXT brought it back in 2017. It was here. But now WWE prices, ever since they joined up with UFC, have just, like, tripled. So
yeah.
I'd spend like, $150 on tickets, but that's probably.
Yeah, they come out on the 7th. I am going to be watching. I'm gonna look. Dan.
I'm definitely like, gonna click and look and see, but I don't know.
Yeah,
their prices have gone so way up.
Yeah, like,
do you guys like WWE now today? Because I used to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we still do.
Back
yeah.
in the day,
we're losers.
Because do you guys admit the product really does suck now, and the personality storyline?
It's still rude. Damn it,
certainly sucks.
Compared to back in the day,
well,
at least like Raw's
like
War.
Era. Yeah, for sure.
It's just
sure.
different. Okay.
Yeah, why is it though? Like, why?
I think it's pretty good now.
Okay.
Yeah, at the moment.
Same.
I think it's gotten a lot better. There was like a really
I think
bad
it
gap.
Sucked for about a 10-year period towards the end of Vince McMahon's run.
Yeah, but I think it's better now that he's gone.
Okay.
But it's still not.
I haven't watched, so I'm not.
Still not what it once was.
Because it was. Now, I also went back and, you know, I see the documentaries, and I'm still a sucker for watching wrestling clips back in the, you know, early, late 2000s when it was Rock and Stone Cold, like DX and all that. It's crazy what they used to put on TV, dude.
Oh, dude.
I mean, in. The storylines, the sexual, XLR. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, there's that one clip of Triple H.
The Sable?
Although there's another one with a fan in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Where he got her to pull down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yep. Yeah, the
and that
Sable storyline like, with Vince cheating on his wife. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
He also did the same thing with, the Canadian female superstar.
Trish
Stratus. Yeah, there was a storyline where Trish was with Vince.
Of course, amazingly, Vince was the lead writer in all these.
he also died in a limousine at one point.
Yeah, he did. Well, yeah. Mr. McMahon died in a limousine. Come on.
I'll start off with, I'll go Yordan Alvarez, career home run number 200 over the weekend. First Astro with 30
man,
home runs.
When he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
I do agree with what you guys said earlier about, you know, like, a little different because when the break is
Berkman would have got there a few times.
Let me count this real 3, 4, 5, 6. He is eighth fewest games to reach the 200 career home run mark in his career. So,
and he lost a career in lost the season in 2020 because of COVID, but he also messed
well,
up
it's
his
games,
knees.
It's games played.
Yeah, I'm just saying, his home run total could be 30, 40 ish home runs higher if he hadn't lost the full
for
season.
Sure. Yeah, it's. Yeah, the fastest ever was to 200 was Ryan Howard, did 658 games. Yordan came in at 771, so I put him eighth on the list. ironically enough, like none of like the best home run hitters of all time are on this list. Like there's no like Ruth or anything like that.
I mean, those guys are like notoriously like just forever steady.
Yeah.
You know, versus Brady Anderson 1 year.
Yeah. It's like, so the list is Ryan Howard, Judge, Ralph Kinner. I don't remember how to say his name. Pete Alonso, Juan Gonzalez, Harmon Killebrew, Albert Bell, and then Yordan Alvarez as the fastest guys at 200 home runs in games played. Will, you want to tip a hat to someone?
I want to give it to Dan Patrick for the way he went after Kathy Engelbert,
yep,
the WNBA commissioner, because she agreed to go on his show and be interviewed. And Dan Patrick's a very good interviewer, a hard interviewer, but a fair interviewer, and does it in the right way where you're not getting like, you know, he's not trying to side door you in some weird thing. And she didn't show up and didn't call. There wasn't like a last second cancellation. I mean, for hours, kept them sitting there, was a no show. And the way that Dan Patrick went about calling her out and saying how embarrassing it is for her and how it shouldn't have happened, I thought was really, really well done. And I think it was good to see someone do that to somebody else that's in power and like do it in a well-mannered way. And also hold that accountability, because I think so many people in our industry like are terrified to call anybody out because they don't want to be chastised or, you know, have any credentials revoked or whatever it might be. Patrick's in a position where he can do it, and he did it really well.
I sent an email today to a publicist that said, take me off your list, because I had another interview I was supposed to be doing tomorrow. And this person, they represent a bunch of people when they put out books. The last two times they're supposed to have someone come on this show, they flaked. And then I was supposed to do a separate interview for my other job tomorrow, canceled it, only because they can't keep a track of a schedule. So I was like, please don't email
me crazy again.
Like, I'm done with this.
Dude, it's so bad. I mean, go on the Dan Patrick show.
Oh, dude, he is.
Her excuse is insane to say that the PR team said I couldn't. Are you not the commissioner of the whole league?
Yeah, I don't think
that's... Are you a patsy? Like,
I don't think that's how PR teams work when you're the commissioner of the league.
Again, sorry, Jeff Conrad. You think Kelvin Sampson is like, I want to do this interview, but Jeff says I can't. Like, what do you think?
No. Players, yes, but not like the owner of, like, the head coach of a program.
In college, not in the pros, not the commissioner.
Yeah, they might get upset. That happened on this station once upon a time. Texans got a little upset with this show.
Fine, get upset, iteration. But you can't tell someone you can't do it.
Brian, your next hat tip?
I'll tip a hat to Erling Haaland.
He's on my list.
I mean, Norway obviously out, but I don't know if this would, you would say this met their expectations or surpassed it. I would say it surpassed it, but either way, Erling Haaland, not single-handedly, because obviously I was interested in in all the games America played, but he was easily the most entertaining part of this World Cup for me. So tip the cap for him carrying Norway all the way to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I know, like, we're supposed to, like, if you, like, love soccer now, supposed to find a team that's, like, adjacent to your NFL team.
I know. I don't feel like I can jump on Man City, but I love Haaland.
I don't think I can. I don't think we're not supposed to, but I think I'm going to, and I don't really care.
Yeah, all right. I'll join you on that.
I'm gonna get on the wagon. I know we're supposed to be, as a unity of this show, we're supposed to be Wrexham supporters.
That was more Jeremy. Like,
it was a good idea. I don't think you were here that day. Our reasoning was solid. Like, we can watch a documentary, learn about this team, the fan base, everything. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think I'm just going to – if I start rooting for a Premier League team, I think I'm just going to pick Man City. And I know it's, like, rooting for, like, the Yankees, it sounds like. But I don't really care. That guy's sick. Like, he's awesome.
So I'm in the same predicament.
Yeah.
I put out – once I fell in love with soccer about 2 weeks ago, I said, who's my PL team? Like, I need a team. And I love Haaland, and everyone's like, dude, you can't root for that. And then I saw a meme today. It's like, the saddest thing about this World Cup is that millions of new soccer fans are going to grow up Man City fans. And I don't even get it, but I'm like, damn, I don't want to be that guy, though.
I know, I don't want to either, but like...
What about Jude Bellingham? I love that guy.
Who's he play for? I know he plays
for England. I don't know.
I know he plays for England, but what's his PL team?
That's what I'm looking up. I wrote PR.
I think he plays for Real Madrid.
Aren't they also
another name?
He's never played in a Premier League team in his professional career.
This says he's on Real Madrid.
That's not a Premier. That's Spanish.
Oh, yeah, Spain. That's Spain. Duh.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yep. No.
That's
I got walked into that one. That's not fair.
Is that crazy or not? Like, is that normal?
Probably,
is he not a stud?
No, he is. But he's in the Spanish league.
But is that not the Premier League?
No.
Isn't the Premier League the top of the top?
Yeah, it is.
So then what the hell? What's going on here?
So not a stud? I guess he's a step down.
So
I don't know.
Not a stud.
That or is they young? Or that or I mean, Real Madrid, though, is one of the biggest brands in the world. So they may have just outpaid the Premier League to get him.
That can happen?
Yeah. I mean, like Messi.
I mean, like, that's like Messi, they have Messi. Enough money at the step. Like, no, like this.
Well, no, but like, well, like
Messi,
not really
Messi
like
played for, I think it was either them or Barcelona for Barcelona. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still pretty of equal value. Okay. From what I understand.
La Liga's what it's called? Not the Bundesliga?
No, that's Germany.
That's Germany. Yeah.
Nice try, trap. I can smell what's going on here.
I need a team. Like, I need to wake up on Saturdays at 8 a.m.
Yeah, but like, I don't want, like, and also, like, everyone's like, you got to root for a team that's, like, on the come up. But, like, why?
No.
Like, no, you've paid your dues.
I already suffer, okay?
Yeah, like, it's a Chicago-Houston fan.
Yeah, like, I've watched these Houston Astros every single day this year, like, be mid at best. The Texans can't win a playoff game. The Rockets can't win a playoff series. Why would I willingly be like, yeah, let's root for a mid soccer team?
I agree.
No, like, I'm going to, for the first time, I'm going to jump on the wagon.
I'm with you.
Or die.
I said I want.
That's what they say. That's what they say now.
We bleed blue, right?
We bleed
they wear
baby
blue.
Blue.
They wear blue, right?
Yeah, okay. They do. Right.
For anybody that's listening and has ideas, like, this is what I want. I want a team that has at least one star so I can have some fun watching. And they're like, okay, they're at least a decent team. They're a team that's like, they're not going to flop and roll around. They'll get after it. They're aggressive. And I need a fan base that loves to also get after it, party, but has a sing-song chance, which I'm told is Liverpool. Like, I want the fun sing-song chance that makes
you
sound
awesome.
Yeah, but
I feel like, don't they all have it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would think most Premier League teams have the sing-song chance, right?
I don't know. That's what I'm kind of asking.
I don't know. I think I'm going to be on the Man City way.
Yeah, screw it. Man City, ride or die.
Yeah. Like, gee whiz. And you know what? It's not really Man City, ride or die.
It's
Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
If he goes to a new team, like,
when he's like, on the screen, I'm like, going to be rooting.
It's
for him.
LeBron James.
Yes,
now.
We can be like LeBron fans. Yeah. We just follow like, from team to
no,
team.
No. If he goes, if he's Man City, if he's Real Madrid, no. If he goes to the Bundesliga, if he goes to the MLS and plays for Austin FC, no. I'm an Austin FC guy. Sorry, Glenn Davis. Like, forget the Dynamo. I'm following this guy.
Is there any chance that Haaland leaves this team? Like, can he be bought out by someone
else? I don't know. Probably.
Else?
I mean, it's him or Mbappe. Like, I got to choose between the two of them. Like, they're both sick.
Yeah, Mbappe hasn't, like, captured. Like, the biggest thing about Haaland is his social media presence and loving America. And, like, he's been,
great.
Like, the man. Like, he's been just. He's been, like, a dude. He's been, like, a normal guy.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy in soccer because they're all, like, huge multi-billionaires that there's no relatability to, like, Cristiano Ronaldo. You're like, I mean, okay.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
I mean, like, I don't know if you saw this, Joe, but Erling Haaland was showing off his, like, video game setup, what games he plays, so yeah. he also can relate to us that way. He's a huge gamer.
He's just a dude.
Yeah.
I think I'm in. Like, I think
although he drinks, apparently, a ton of raw milk every day. I'm out on that.
Raw milk?
Yeah, raw milk. I'm out
I
on that part.
Too.
I can't
I've wanted
that.
To try raw milk
I can't
forever,
follow that.
I haven't been able to find it.
Isn't it illegal?
I don't think it's illegal. I think there's definitely
raw milk illegal.
It's definitely not illegal. Like, you're going to get arrested for it. You can
raw
it.
Milk is illegal to sell across state lines in the United States, but sale within states varies widely depending on state law.
Yeah.
So it's hit or miss.
Right, but it's not illegal. It's illegal to like sell across state lines. It's not.
No, it's not illegal to have it. You just can't sell it. Okay.
Right.
It says
like it's not illegal to drink.
It says
it, which
in Texas, it's on farm sales legal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it can get farmers markets.
I don't know if you can transport it off the farm to do a farm.
So this
I don't know.
It says this category includes sales through delivery at farmers markets.
Okay, there we go.
And any other venues where direct raw milk producer to consumer transactions are allowed.
Let me know if you guys have raw milk. I want to try it.
Why not?
I don't know.
We try it.
Yeah.
What's it going to cost us? Our life?
Yeah, like whatever.
Text line says Arsenal.
What about Arsenal? Who's their player? Who's their guy?
Great question. Don't know both.
What are their chants? What's their fan base like? What's their style? You've got to sell me.
They don't have Haaland. Let's go out to Adrian as an explanation for us, and we'll get back to tipping some hats. Adrian, what's up?
Hey, you guys. How's it going? Hey,
good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been listening to you guys. I wanted to clarify the Premier League
and
how that works. So all of the countries in Europe have their own Premier League or top league. So in Spain, it's La Liga. So that is where Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, et cetera, they play in the Spanish top league. And in England, the Premier League is where they have Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, et cetera.
So do they play against each other ever?
They do. It's called the Champions League. So the top four teams from every European country all go qualify to a Champions League tournament where they play a group stage like how the World Cup is. Then you qualify to a knockout round, and then they play a giant tournament from like January all the way until June, with the winner being determined like the champion of Europe.
And that's our CONCACAF, is that right?
No. CONCACAF is...
I'm saying that champions is like European whatever, and CONCACAF is our version of it in this region.
Right, yeah. Oh. So UEFA is soccer guy. European, and CONCACAF is North American, right?
Yep. Shut up, Joe.
So the champions is really sick. It's all, yeah, and you guys are talking about Jude and Erling. They actually both came up through a club together out in Borussia Dortmund in Germany, and they have like a huge bromance, so they're like really good friends.
Wait, Jude and Holland are best friends?
Erling and Erling Holland and Jude Bellingham.
Okay,
they're really good friends.
That's amazing. Those are two of my favorite players.
Thank you, Adrian, for the call. All I know right now is if Glenn Davis was listening, he's gonna be sick of us for this.
That's amazing. No,
I think the more you know.
No, I think, yeah, I will contest this because we talked to Glenn a couple times during the World Cup. Like, Glenn doesn't take that attitude with soccer games.
You shouldn't.
Which is my most appreciative part about Glenn is that he allows me to ask those type of questions and learn and become a fan versus the fan that I say something about soccer. I'm like, no, you idiot. I'm like, this is why. I don't care then.
It's a great point of like why people don't get interested in the sport is because there's so much gatekeeping. I hate
gatekeeping.
That's
a great point.
It's not only gatekeeping, it's arrogance. And it's like, dude, bro, what do you think I'm asking you? Like, shut up.
Like, I can't have questions?
And you picked a team out of random at one point because you're from friggin' Ohio. So I don't think you just aligned with Man City or whoever else that you picked for whatever reason.
Yep.
Like, knock it off. I got to pick my team now. I'm just a little late. So, soccer has the most arrogant elitist fans on earth, right?
Oh yeah,
and it's not close.
I think college football gives it a good run for its money.
A&M ring people are tough.
Like if soccer's at the top, college football. There's a good amount of gatekeeping within baseball. I feel like.
Think so?
Yeah.
Where?
Maybe it's just Twitter.
Where do you see that?
Astros fans.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I see a quad of like. Now, look, I think
there's some gatekeeping with like people who think they have a way better understanding of the rules of baseball.
I think
like Astros, if you're unsure of a rule, if something happens at a game,
yeah, maybe it's more just like I think there's a very loud group on Twitter who think that everyone who talks about the Astros or roots for the Astros didn't watch the team in 2014 when they were bad.
That I agree with that,
and
entirely.
I think that is a giant misrepresentation of Astros fans because it's also just kind of Houston sports fans that check out a lot when things are not good. And I don't blame them because I would if I could. I'll also hat tip to Patty the Batty. Mentioned him. Nasty submission over the weekend. Really quick fight. The two main event fights there were like a combined minute and a half. So like it would be a bummer if you paid for that fight in Vegas and then that's what you ended up seeing with the submission and then Connor getting hurt. But he was nasty over the weekend. Do you have any more?
Nah.
Okay, Brian, do you have any more?
Yeah, I'll play the role of Jeremy here and say someone who Joe will say who to. But Yannick Sinner.
Who?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that was a
back-to-back Wimbledon winner. So really tip good. Of the cap to him for going back-to-back at Wimbledon. And I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was like 2 years ago, Derek Jeter went on Colin Cowherd's show. And Cowherd asked Jeter about what it was like to face Nolan Ryan. Which he didn't face Nolan Ryan. And so when Jeter went on the show, like, I guess just a few days ago, like, Jeter took a shot on him, like, hey, let's not ask him any questions about Nolan Ryan today.
Yeah, I like that.
So tip of the cap to Derek Jeter.
Oh, man. I wanted to give one to just Argentina for what they gave us in that Egypt game. I just thought it was amazing to watch.
Their games have been crazy.
It was a 28-3 type of, like, comeback and, like, late. And it was so much fun to watch.
Even the game over the weekend, like, against Switzerland, like, it's.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like they were going to win at one point. And then they just scored two goals in the 112th and 121st minute, it looks like, is what it was. Like that game could have easily been going to PKs.
I was getting my car washed during the Egypt game, so I was able to watch it kind of in the waiting area. My car was done for 20 minutes. I stayed.
You don't stay in the car while it gets washed?
No, it was like one of those hand, like a Shepherd hand wash type deals. You know,
Richard
was
like,
fancy boy.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. My wife drove my car for two weeks and there was breast milk all over.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, fair. I just wait to get my car washed until I see, like, you know, someone that will do it for free.
Somebody on the side of the road runs up?
Get my
the squeegee?
Yeah, no, those people are the worst.
By the way, did you get your windshield fixed?
No. It's not. Well, that wasn't. It was the rest of my car that needs to get fixed.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance. I need my car. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to pay for a rental.
What's wrong with your car, dude?
I'm going to take a day off work and be like, why are you not here? I need to get my car fixed.
What's wrong with your car?
You got a check engine light on it. And then they fixed it, and then it came back 24 hours later, so they didn't really fix it, so I got to take it back. It's fine. It'll get fixed eventually. It drives well.
Isn't that what it's supposed to do?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like
whatever is causing the light to be on isn't affecting the car.
A to B,
I don't think. My last one I have here is for future Astro Jake McCarthy, the Rocky center fielder, for hitting his second inside the park of the home run of the year.
By the All-Star break.
Yeah, I was looking at his numbers today, like, because Sean and I were recording inside the icebox for Friday since he's out the rest of the week. We're looking like little deadline preview. I was like, this guy's pretty good. Like, I don't know why the Rockies would even trade him. And he's been the top candidate for a lot of Astros people. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. He's pretty nasty. So I hope the Astros trade for him. All right, that'll do it for this segment. We'll get back. We'll do our junkie of the day to wrap up the show. As we always do, you can text in your nominations 713-780-3776. That's next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie, okay? I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You acting like I'm some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
All right, junkie of the day. Here on ESPN 97.5. Will is the guest. You get to go first.
I'm doing it again. I'm giving it to Kathy Engelbert, commissioner of the WNBA, for leaving Dan Patrick high and dry. Not canceling late, but never even showing up. And her overall leadership of the WNBA, frankly, is an embarrassment. All the issues they have is due to poor leadership. All the issues that they have are because she cannot fill that void of being the bad parent when she needs to be, or the mean parent when she needs to be. Being a good parent, being a good commissioner, is not just saying yes to your kids all the time. What she's done for the league, yes, the numbers have all gone up, and yes, it's the healthiest it's ever been. Sure, it still takes a loss. It doesn't make any money, but it's the best it's ever been under her watch. But I firmly believe that it's thriving right now because of Caitlin Clark and other stars, because there are a bunch of stars in the league that are making it do that in spite of her. And I think if I'm getting into this like Tillman Fertitta is and bringing the comments back to Houston, I'm saying, listen, I'll do this and I'm in, but we need a new commissioner. We need somebody else leading this sport because they're leaving way too much on the table. They are not doing what they could be doing, even though they're as good as they've ever been. So, Kathy, you are the
junkie of the day.
Junkie of the day.
I will nominate Brian. I'll let you go next.
I'll nominate Will not turning on his microphone.
Three times.
Almost to the fourth right there. A number that's way higher than that. I don't know if you guys saw this story. 900 venomous cobras escaped from a breeding farm in China. So have fun with that, China. Hopefully it doesn't make its way over here. I'll nominate this wild stat, which there's been a few of these. I think there was one involving the Jets as well. But Underdog tweeted out this stat for playoff wins at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami over the last 25 years. England 1, Indiana Hoosiers 1, Miami Dolphins 0. So shout out to the Miami Dolphins for having fewer playoff wins at their own stadium than the England men's national team in the Indiana Hoosiers.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough look. I'll nominate the UFC broadcast team for identifying Shakur Stevenson, a four-division boxing champion, for a new promotion that'll be airing on Paramount as an NBA player.
Was it SGA?
I don't remember what NBA player they called him, but they thought he was an NBA player.
Stephenson?
The boxer is Shakur Stevenson. Yeah.
Well, whoever they did. But you know what? To the antithesis of Kathy Engelbert, did you see what
Dana White ripped
Dana out. White said afterwards?
He's awesome.
Yeah,
not only did he take blame for it, he said, we are the worst at it. We are embarrassing at it. It is horrible. Because when you do that, everyone's like, I respect that. I see that. Like, I'm good with the mistake. Not that, like, I accept the mistake, but, like, I'm not going to drag them anymore. Their commissioner did.
They said it was Jalen Williams, the guard from the Thunder.
So it's not even a name that sounds similar to
Shakur
Stevenson.
No, like, that's why, like, I thought maybe, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, somehow Shakur Stevenson got messed up.
No, no.
But it's
not like it's a nobody. It's like the biggest star for this new boxing promotion that Dana's running that's going to be airing on Paramount. So,
do they not have like a seating chart list of like where these people are sitting?
You would think they would. You would think they would. But
that's why like I wonder like if Jalen Williams was there.
Yeah, but like that's not a seat. He's not a seat filler.
Yeah, but like it's like they just like they put the camera on the wrong person at the wrong time or the wrong graphic.
They took the wrong shot.
Like, yeah, I guess it's possible the director like went out of order.
Yeah.
But still, like someone messed up. Yeah.
It has to be that, right? Like
I hope.
Yeah. You know what they're gonna have to do? They're gonna have to like Mickey Mouse this thing to where they have pictures of like LeBron James. That's LeBron. He's like, I know who it is. Well, you didn't know who the other nine were.
Well, at the World Cup they have it where like there's like computers.
They don't say anybody
with their names.
Oh yeah.
But they don't say who it is.
They don't see Jesus.
Oh, there
either.
Was a I think one of the World Cup games early didn't know who Eli Manning was.
No, that's right.
Yep. Yeah.
I think they might have called him Peyton.
Yeah, that might have been it.
But honestly, that's
fine. They're not it's not American.
They don't
not
only that is somewhere it, though.
I didn't know soccer at all.
Yeah.
And people are gonna like be like, holy crap. I didn't know who Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I think that's how you say it.
I didn't know
the
who
king
that
of the
was
jungle?
Until this. Yeah. I did not know. And I never knew who Thierry Henry was.
That's fine.
Thierry Henry.
Shut up. That is the soccer fan that needs to go.
Brian, do you have another one?
Yeah, one more. Rob Manfred blew the pronunciation of the first overall pick's name.
Yeah.
Oh, Favre.
With the first pick of the 2026 MLB draft, the Chicago White Sox select Rock Chulewski, a shortstop from UCLA.
How's it pronounced?
Chulewski, not Chulewski.
How do you,
bro? That's bad.
Like it was between three players. Like this guy was going top three. Like I get if it was like the
no matter what he's gonna have to say it eventually.
Like I get if it was like the
right
30th round or whatever. I don't even know how many rounds there are anymore. But like,
I think it's 25 now.
I think you're right. So if it's like the 20th round, I could get a mistake. Okay,
sure.
It's a guy who was going top three. Yeah, like, stand in front of the mirror and practice. I'll nominate Conor McGregor for that disaster. Sorry, your knee fell apart. I guess, but
do you think he was hurt?
Yeah, for sure. He was
100%.
Yeah, he got hurt. I think like the week of the fight. And then lastly, just everyone who's overreacting to Summer League. I don't care if you're a Rockets fan, Bulls fan, Knicks fan, whatever. And also us for having to do Junkie of the Day. And I didn't listen to you guys, so we lost.
Oh, yeah.
We should have done the younger.
That was rough. So what's winning?
I kind of want to give it to Manfred, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, he's known this is coming for months.
I think Manfred's the ultimate worst.
It is pretty bad.
All right, home run derby tonight. So we'll get to watch that. I guess we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow.
You guys have a pick?
I'm taking Caminero.
I was going to take Caminero, too.
I'll go Schwarber.
Yeah.
Schwarber's so good in these moments.
I have money on both of them.
They changed the format, though, didn't
they?
And did they again?
Yeah. But, all right, that'll do it for us today here on Jeremy and Joe. Will Conco was here with us today. He'll be here with us all week. We'll all be out East River 9 on Friday. Thanks to BMAC, as always. Back with you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Love you.
ESPN 97.5.